Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I have to thank, first of all, CSC for the organization hosting this conference, this wonderful location. Obviously, I have to thank also APA and David for the organization. And I have to quote, of course, the co-authors of this paper. I was not supposed to be here, but Mirko Albani couldn't come, so he left me this hot potato. Now, I will try to give an idea about the structure of the presentation. Just getting the message from the previous speaker, I will say a few words about the high-level expert group vision. We didn't agree before on this presentation, on this part, so I think I'm happy that we inserted this topic as a reference for the further process. Then just a few words about the air science, data preservation, and access challenges. We will move down to what ESA is doing. It's a sort of bottom-up approach, in a way, concerning specifically the Earth observation. And we believe that is a sort of tangible approach for a solution that could be used. Wouldn't say as a model is a too big word, but in a way, as a reference. And so a few words about what we do for the preparatory program, which is what ESA is currently fully funding, and a few words about a couple of studies which are related to specific requirements in this area, and then some conclusion. I will not say, obviously, because I'm not too entitled about the report about the Vision 2030, but we try to at least get out of it what for us was absolutely a novelty and what is very important, and mainly concerning what is the future approach. Now, for us, it was very important to learn that the data themselves become the infrastructure. Now, concerning the infrastructure, we may see later about what we could discuss and agree. But normally the data were up to now somehow, I wouldn't say ignored, but considered at lower level. When we talk about e-infrastructure, people believe and immediately think about networking, grid, computing power, all that stuff. Now, again, the rest of the slide is mainly referring again to what has been already presented before, so I will not spend time on that. Let's move instead to the open questions. And then I will present as well somehow the relationship between this type of open questions and the one which are also concerning the specific air science area. We talk about diversity, we talk about data repositories, access rules which are different, about trust of the data. We talk about what we have to preserve. We have to preserve everything or not. We have to preserve everything forever or not. We can replace data. That, I think, are the argument that we try to highlight later. Now, we move at this point directly on the air science preservation and the access. Now, air science is it's a big word. And we try to define, not all of it is probably impossible, but just to highlight what can be considered as part of the earth science overall. So for earth science, we mean what is actually related to measurements, sensor instruments, activities, research, going on what is specifically related to our Earth, so atmosphere, biosphere, glaciology, oceanography, information, Earth observation, geology, and stuff like that. So I will not go through all the disciplines which are listed here, but just to show the type of environment where we have to move. And of course, I mean, the agency, European Space Agency, is taking care of most of them. But again, also within a large organization like ours, we have still a lot of work and activity to do in order to make something homogeneous from all the point of views, management, different directories that are not talking together, infrastructure which are separate, and stuff like that. So we would like to use their observation that today is probably the one most advanced in the long-term data preservation and DASS's discipline that we hope then to convince our colleagues to go exactly in a similar direction. Now, our science needs overall, not, as I say, everything, but long-term series of observation. And, okay, here there is an example of what is the mean sea level, which is increasing constantly, as is shown in the graph, and since, let's say, decades of about 1 millimeter per year. And that is proven by seven different satellites. So it's something to really start worrying about. And of course, that is information that we would like to have also from the past. Unfortunately, we didn't have yet before, I would say, the 70s, early 70s, any information coming from satellites, instruments like altimeters or stuff like that. But today, you know, it's clear the problem of the ice melting in northern South Poles, and that is one of the causes of this increasing of the sea level. Now, the challenges. As you see, we are exactly in full agreement with what was presented before by John. So, in earth science, we have diversity in communities, in format of data, types of data, the way that the data are analyzed, the way the data are stored, the way the data are accessed and distributed. We have exactly similar problem in which people are happy to share the data, but not my data. We have problem in data integrity, in the quality. The data are trustable or not. Who is ensuring that the data are trustable and stuff like that. Everybody talks as well about sustainability, which is, I think, a key word if we look at the future, mainly related to operability of a system. Who is funding that? I believe that it's very difficult to provide an answer. I don't see, honestly, the private sector being involved in that. I think it's mainly public, if any. And that's why we need then a lot of other, let's say, key issues like mandates. So we are entering into a sort of political area. ESA today does not have a mandate formally to keep the data forever. It's left to, I wouldn't say individual initiatives, but it's certainly left to managers' position. Managers, as you know, can change, and the idea can change. And we already experimented that. In I'm leaving the agency next year, and in 30 years I saw different directors having different ideas with different instructions. Throw away the data or keep the data forever, extreme. But we believe that earth science can be, something like a pathfinder for a wider scientific disciplines like the one presented by the previous speaker. Now, the needs. Again, comes here the keywords infrastructure, which means what? Let's assume that we have, and adopting again some of the keywords of the Vision 2030, so we go into interoperability, sharing, sustainability, policies. Now, it is clear that the solution is just very simple and is international collaboration and cooperation. And that is proven by at least our small experience in the last few years. Now, that is our vision on infrastructure. That's why, in the last bullet, I wouldn't say it's provocative, but just recently we got the report from the Vision 2030 and the EIRG Roadmap 2010. Both of them, they refer to e-infrastructure. there is some difference between them. If you read the papers, you find a lot of commonalities, but also some diversity. What really we mean with infrastructure? We believe that infrastructure is including everything. So mandate from the organization. Without that, I don't think you can do much. There is policies, there is agreement, there is common plans. We cannot forget legal and financial aspects. We cannot forget standards and procedures that should be sooner or later common. And then, of course, we have to go down to the data that have to be preserved. It's not enough to keep data in silos, in repository, if there is not any awareness around what we archive, what is the quality, what is the ability, the rules to access, and, of course, all the related metadata, which are fundamental to understand what is in there and how to access them. And then, of course, we move down to what is, let's say, the most simple area, I would say, which is the technical part. So the physical resources like hardware, software, networking, web, and so on. And finally, once we have all that in place, finally we can talk about operation, we can talk about maintenance, and we can talk about evolution, which means a system operationally working that provides to the user the service that they need. I think we can have a discussion maybe later or tomorrow in the members of the APA, but I think that is a fundamental issue. Now, concerning the framework, now we have to see which type of environment is necessary to start. How then the thing can grow, how can be nurtured, how can become self-sustained, and how can really survive without any risk. Now, there is this slide, which I didn't do. I don't know actually where it comes from, but I think gives an idea of a sort of process. So somewhere we have to start with the birth, and then you have to do some parenting, so having stakeholders which are participating with you, obviously trying to evolve. So we go from poorly reactive to reactive environment, and then we need to train, we need to grow, we need to, let's say, enhance what has been created, which is the nurturing. It's a bit like, in a way, a sort of human type of life process. So that becomes interactive. And finally, when we have reached the final stage, so the proactive part, the system should become self-sustained. Now we can see maybe in what ESA has done, there is some say relation with this type of process. Now we move to what really is the activity of ESA in the Earth observation specific part. So we moved from, let's say, the large vision on scientific data to Earth science and, let's say, as a small microcosm to the Earth observation. And I can provide some information about what we believe could be a first step into a tangible solution. Now, we already, let's say, saw the view graph, this one, in the previous presentation. Basically, we moved in somehow 30 years from a few hundred of terabytes to today 4 terabytes, and the projection is to arrive to 27 petabytes in the next 10 years. It's very conservative, this figure. And if we decide to archive as well the products, so not only the low level, the lower level of the satellite data, that should become, let's say, multiplied by a factor of 4. And this is the same trend, let's say, in all our partners in Earth observation. Now, I will not say too much about that. Anyway, that is just listing the satellites that at the moment we archive. Now, ESA started with the idea to promote a sort of Earth observation, long-term data preservation framework involving, let's say, the major organization in Europe in that area, with the aim to extend that to the entire Earth science disciplines. So we target that in, I think, 2008, that's where we started, and since then quite a lot of activity has been done, as well as, let's say, the approval from the ESA management of a program of 3 years, fully funded by ESA, which we call the preparatory program, that we will, let's say, explain a bit later. Now, what is the really the framework? Now, the context is similar to what we say. So that is really basically the birth. So we start with contacting our main partners and trying to see how we could proceed all together in setting up something which is looking immediately, let's say from 2012, 2013, to the GMES, which is a program that is in collaboration with the European Commission, is co-funded by ESA and by the EC, and that is an operational system. So we saw that by then we need to be operational, at least from what concerns the LTDP part. LTDP basically means long-term data preservation, but of course it is including as well the assets. Now, there is a lot of things to do, like extending that to the entire community in Europe, and possibly as well having, let's say, relationship with other organizations in the world, like NASA, like JAXA in Japan, and stuff like that, which are involved in similar activity, and they are facing exactly the same problem as the European. Now, there is some goal and, of course, some principle, and basically, I mean, the goal is clearly to try to provide a service concerning the data preservation, ensuring without any time limitation the service and the accessibility for anybody that wants to access the data free of charge. As you know, today ESA is still charging, or most of the organization are still charging for the products. US has started in going a different direction, apart obviously the private sector, where they have a very high resolution system, mainly used by military application and stuff like that. But we are out of that. ESA is not, it's not an organization involved with the military activity, or let's say commercial activity. Clearly there is a value in say high level data resolution, where you can see pictures of half a meter or even lower. We are, let's say, more in the scientific world, so we believe that let's say below 10 meters there is no interest from the commercial part. Sorry, the opposite. Above 10 meters. Now, the principle is to preserve the data, and over time, the LTDP members should grow, and of course, becoming part of a community that is adopting the same standards, having the same mandate, sharing infrastructure, sharing experience, and avoiding, if it's possible, duplication and investing in the same things. And that is what we call, in a way, the GROW. The leading organization are the Italian Space Agency, the French Space Agency, the Canadian Space Agency, and the German Space Agency. And all that is coordinated by a group that is called GSCBs, or Gram-Semmen Coordination Body. Now, we need, of course, to parent that. So the 4 or 5 organizations that started the activity are not enough. So we would like to arrive to at least involving all the European partners. Doesn't matter if they are public or private, because they have to face exactly the same situation. On that, quite a number of activity has been already reached, like, for example, the definition of what we call the guidelines. So whoever is entering, and of course, there is not a real membership. We are open to anybody that agrees on this collaborative framework and wants to share the activities in a short, mid, or long term to adopt as principle, as the beginning, these guidelines. It's not a commitment, there is no contracts, but obviously is a sort of trustable approach that is involving, maybe not 100%, but let's say slowly, progressively going into the full agreement of the procedure and guidelines. The international context, obviously we quote all the areas which are giving to us input and moving together towards our goals. So there is the European Commission, there is the Alliance, there is the CCSDS, which is International Organization for Standards, there is the GEO, which is the higher group in the world for the Earth observation. It's a very high level, so there are ministers involved from, I think, most of the countries in the world. I think recently they met and there were, I don't know, something like 70, 80 countries represented at a very high level. I think from US there was, I think, Mrs. Clinton. And obviously they focus on climate change as most of the activity. And of course they deal not only with the space sensor data, but as well with the in situ data. So it's earth science is, as such. And of course the SEOS, which is an international organization for standards in earth observation. Now, in the last 3 years, we achieved quite a number of, say, goals. I already mentioned the guidelines. Yeah, they are not all of them, but we also defined the glossary, which is very important. We defined standards, or let's say, an analysis of all the standards existing around in the world concerning this type of activity. We also obviously lead the coordination in Europe for that, moving in websites, conferences, workshop, and stuff like that. And obviously the main achievement was the approval of the preparatory program for 3 years, completely funded by ESA. Now, this slide is showing the plan that we sort out in 2009. The blue part is mainly what already has been achieved, and the red part is what it's in progress and is soon completed. And of course, there is still the, let's say, a right part, which is still to do, and we will do it next year. It's mainly for what we have to do afterwards, so from 2012 onwards. I must say that David is helping us a lot in this area. We start from Earth observation, and of course we would like to achieve Earth science overall. Now, just a few words about a couple of studies that we have done under this program, and one is related to the definition of the requirements for the data sets that should be preserved and, you know, the completion of the gap, how to move for the future in this area. as you see, we have some methodology in the study. I will not go through that because it's probably mostly complicated, but just a few quotes about the source of requirements. So there were not only users, but all the major organizations that are going on in definition of requirements, like GCOS, GMES, CCI, S3, and INSPIRE. So we have quite a wide forum of requirement collections. The study should end up by early next year, and obviously the report will be available to anybody, as well as this study, which is instead focusing on technology. So really, what is going on today, what is going on in 5 years, what is going on in technology in a longer term. We had a workshop in Madrid in July, and the contract should be finished by roughly mid of next year. And again, the report will be available for everybody. So people doesn't need to repeat exactly the same survey on major vendors and stuff like that. Now, just a few words about, the conclusion. I will not go through all the bullets. It's mainly just summarizing what we have said before. So the challenge is very big. We try to work from small to big, so a bottom-up approach, and of course, looking at the future, so having a program which is going on from 2012 at least to 2020. That is our major goal for financing all the projects. Now, what are the user view? Which are the major elements? This one is a collection of requirements that we got from several studies. And as you see, I'm trying not to repeat what has been presented before as well from the barriers which are already included in the 2030 report, 2030 vision report. What probably is new here is that we need also periodic reprocessing of data. And that is costing a lot in terms of infrastructure, physical infrastructure, how to do it, because climate change, for example, is moving with new algorithms, so we need to preserve the data, and then we need to process the data for the users, not as today, where we normally take about a couple of years to process the entire data of one satellite life, but they want the data in a matter of days. And that is really an enormous challenge for the future. Now, everybody talks about the infrastructure. For us, it's obviously a need. And the infrastructure will impact very positively on the work of every day. We believe that APA could play a fundamental role in that. And probably that is one, I think, of the major challenge of the Alliance, to define a sort of scalable model, we think was one of the arguments of these conferences. Now, we already said before the key word is operation. So we have to move from data repository to an operational setup, which means long-term sustainability, which means clear mandate for all the partners. So is what really is needed today is a view that moves from private initiatives or personal initiatives to something solid based on clear mandates, based on an infrastructure, based on standards, based on operational rules. I think that's the end of my presentation.
We have a few minutes for questions. Any questions?
The European Space Agency has very many diverse fields. You have focused on Earth observations. But I just wonder whether you ever had the chance to have a look what is common and what is different in those diverse areas like astronomy missions and Earth observation and whatever?
Well, as I said before, the answer is basically no, in a sense that despite our director general that talks about one ESA, unfortunately ESA is divided, as you say, in different directorates with different disciplines. And all of them, they have, in a way, their own life. And, you know, again, there is maybe a problem of budget, a problem of people. It's difficult to move across the several disciplines because everybody is used to do the things in their way and they do not want to change. What our plan is to demonstrate that, at least for the Earth observation, we can reach in a short term some success. In that case, then we have a convincing argument to go to all of them and say, what do you do about that? So we, as just a first step, we can offer the infrastructure. If we archive, I don't know, 10 petabytes of data, to archive 20, it's not a big issue. Today, we have the capability in our silos to archive much more than that. So they could already maybe exploit that. But again, you have to convince people because they say the operation are mine. So it's not easy, let's say, to arrive to that point, but our aim is to go in that direction. Now, how long it will take, honestly, I don't know. But we believe that that is the same difficulty that we have to face when we go to talk with our partners out of ESA. It took quite a long time to convince, for example, CNES to enter into the agency because they say, we have our own budget, we have our own rules, we don't need you. and, you know, others, they were more flexible. And we say, well, you know, the fact that we are moving in a certain direction should be good for you to convince your management to invest. Because you can say, hey, Germany is doing it, Italy is doing it, Sweden is doing it, what France is doing. So it's an argument that I think should, you know, it's a sort of disease that we hope is, let's say, going to all the management of private organizations. It's very difficult to talk with the private sector because they want to make money. And I can tell you that archive for them is not a big issue. They say, we get the money out of the last 2 years of data. The data older than that doesn't give any revenue. So maybe we throw them away. So at this point, the LTDB framework, one of the guidelines is if somebody wants to throw away data, there is a process of awareness, say, you know, I'm throwing away this data to all the partners of the LTDP framework. Somebody may say, hey, I'm interested, I want them, I keep them. And so we pay for that at the end. Somebody pays for that, but at least the private doesn't get rid of the data. That's why we say that really the only, let's say, funding that is reliable is the public one. I don't see the private sector being too much interested in keeping forever scientific data. They are interested in the operation, yes, in providing the services, in providing manpower, in earning money from contracts and stuff like that. But apart that, you know, who is paying for the private sector must be the public funds.
Okay, I think... although I'm sure there are more other questions, I'm going to have to cut you short. So thank you very much, Vincenzo.
Thanks to you.